ministers, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for the invite. Tally and Jimmy and Tom and all the guys that know me there. I'd just like to read from the Word of God, just a couple of from 2 Timothy 2, chapter 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and which he condemned the world, and being heir of righteousness, which is by faith. This is the word of God, true, and only God's word is in it. God is in it himself. God reveals himself through this book. I am Ivor Wilkinson, and child of the 60s, and if I can say the phrase when I was growing up was, a body's a temple, a body's a temple, you know. And it's not often heard nowadays, the body is a temple. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, for those who are born again. Grew up in a loving family, two sisters, one brother. Went to school like everybody else. Didn't do that well, but that doesn't really matter in life's whole plan. Came out with school at two levels and wondered what should I do, so eventually started working, which was a great thing, and had my own money and all the rest. And you know, during that stage I was in the BB, heard about, you know, Christian things and all the rest, and you thought, this is not really not for me, you know. But I often heard God calling me in the word that was proclaimed, and I said, not now, later, when I do. And at that stage, when you're growing up, you know, there's lots of things to explore, and one of the greatest things that I got a buzz out of was actually climbing mountains, going down the mountains, being able to navigate. Out doing your own thing and all the rest. Great activity to do, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But actually, that was the focus of my life. As the old song goes, climb every mountain. So with that, it was, you know, let's get to the bigger mountains and all the rest. And Scotland in winter, you know, all those kind of things. Then it was into Europe, and then it was right around the world. Travelled right around the world, from Canada to America to everywhere. But anyway, within that, there was always the physical. What we see around us, it's always the physical. There was never a spiritual kind of part to my life. Within those trips, I'd often hang around with my mates, who some of them were Christians, and I thought, this really isn't for me. I'll go down and, you know, do the youth club and do all the rest. But really, again, God's voice called me, and I says, no, not now, later, when I do, when I get married, when I get a house, when I've done all the mountains that I want to do. Anyway, around about 24, so my life was starting to change. Work was, and money, and all the things that, you know, creep into a person's life. And there came a decision one evening, that I just knew this was the last chance. Last chance. I'm calling you, and it's your last chance. And it was the fear of God that was in my life. I didn't know what to do. So I went to a guy who I knew was a Christian, just up in Castle Donagh, talked through with him, and he pointed me to Christ. I says, look, no, it's really not for me. He said, come back tomorrow night. And I thought, that's a strange kind of thing to say, come back tomorrow night. Like, I mean, I'm here on the cusp of, this is my last chance, what do I do? Anyway, I did come back that night, the next night, and he told me again what I needed to do. And he had asked Jesus into my life. He sent me home and said, that's between you and God. I'm looking for help. And he sends me home. So it was around about 10:30 at night, and I got down on my knees at my bedside and asked Jesus to come into my life. Now, there was no lightning or anything like that there. I just knew things had changed spiritually within my life. From there, I got involved in the youth club and all the rest, and youth missions and everything like that there. Went out with Ronnie McCracken to do a bit of work with the Jews in Russia, hand out food parcels and everything like that. So that was great, and I thought, what's the next stage then in my Christian life? And I felt God was leading me down to go to Bible college. So I thought, well, that's a big step. I'm not really the kind of guy that really does books, you know. It doesn't do me. Anyway, I went along and I got my certificate. But within that, it was a liberal Bible college. This is the Word of God. And there was so many contradictions that they brought up within it. Did it really mean this? Did it really mean that? Did it say this? Or was there a contradiction from the old to the new? And you came away with more questions than answers. And with that, one of my teachers was actually Michael Wardlow, who is now the head of the Equality Commission. And hi, Michael. The Word of God is true. So it is. That's why I'm back here tonight and can mention your name. So with that, I chucked the book. This is out of my life. God is out of my life. Because you know what? There's nothing worth standing for. If I have given up all my holidays and put my money into the church and all the rest, is this true? Is it worth going on for? So God knew the state of my heart. And for many years, God didn't speak to me. I didn't want to speak to him. He wasn't real anymore in my life. Yet he was there. But throughout all that, without the spiritual, you need something to fill on. And that was the physical. This bit of life here that we all have. And so I dreamt the dream of being absolutely happy and everything else. Well, it had to be involved in the mountains, so I worked like a madman and got my dream. Lovely house in the country with a view of the moors, that picturesque view. But did it bring happiness? Did it bring peace? Absolutely not. You can have all the material wealth you want in this world, but it will not give you that peace that you have with God. Throughout that time, God actually called me once or twice, and I says, chuck it. Thank you, you're not real in my life. So with that, I'd got married. My wife went to church, and I said, well, that's okay for you. You do whatever you want to do, but it's definitely not for me anymore. Well, for those who are truly God's and who have given their life to Christ, God is a faithful God, and he can never let you go. And this is the story of a backslider. So with that, marriage fell apart because, you know what, I wasn't happy. I couldn't get that peace within, no matter what I had, no matter what material possession I had. through it all, marriage fell apart, didn't get access to my children. Things kept going down, because you know why? I would not recognize the higher being of Christ in my life that I'd give my life to. So they ended up, they were actually homeless. I know what it's like to be a homeless person. And I slept on the streets for one winter. And that was when the Lord spoke to me again. He says, do you want to come back to me? And you see, we all face the self that's in here. The self-determination of my way, not your way. And I was a broken man. My parents knew I was broken. The little they could, they did help me. But it was all the self, the bringing of I would not recognize. But when I came to that place, then Jesus was there for me. And that's the great story, that in this life we want to do our own things, or we want to think, you know, we'll be happy at doing it our own way. It's really only when we come back down to God and saying, you are the Almighty who is in control of my life, that you really will have that Shema, that peace of God. And that's what life is really all about. Having that communion with God. You see that cross behind me? It first of all goes up. And until you recognize that God is in control of your life and say that I'm a sinner, that relationship will never be there. And then you can go across to mankind, Jew or Gentile, Hindu, Buddhist, Roman Catholic, and tell them about the love of God that is actually in your own heart. Anyway, it's a long stretch back home. You're just thinking, oh, you just turn up at a church. Not that is. Things had changed dramatically in our churches, from compromise to everything else. And it was difficult. There was even one church that said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. Because I'm thinking, I'm still old school. How can this be? Christianity is everything and everything, everyone to everyone. There is no standards, there is no moral standards anymore. And you know, it's really strange how people have accepted everything can go. Now, everything can go, from, you know what the topics are, from abortion to homosexuality. Everything goes. And I stood up for the word of God and was eventually said, please leave. Give them the verses that I knew back then, and I was asked to leave. God's spirit is not in that church, because they do not hold to the word of God. They have compromised, just like what Israel did, by the way. Israel compromised with what God had told them. These are my laws. And they ended up sacrificing their own children. That's what we're doing today. May God have mercy on this land. I'm telling you. Anyway, the other thing that actually came about was I went to one church, another church, and it was really shocked me. And I said, look, could I just have a wee word? You said something there, but this man was actually praying to the dead. And I'm going, I'm searching for the true and living God. Like, hold on. This isn't, again, for the third time. Look, would you just be quiet there? For the third time, I says, you needn't ask me the third time, because I'm out of here. And that's what's in our churches today. That's what goes. Anything goes. That's a true story. If you want to tackle me afterwards, you can. And I'll tell you the name and the person where it's all happening. So I'm still trying to seek that true and living God, because I knew what it was to have that relationship up and down and be led by the Spirit. Anyway, I eventually did find a church, and they proclaimed the Word of God. The blood cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah for that. There's still people out there that are actually from the pulpit still preaching it. So there is. So I got myself into the church, and it was hard going because I was well out of the system of being brought back into God will honour those who honour him. And you know, it's that defining line of trying to find, hold on, what do you do on Sunday? Sure, the coffee shop or church, and there's that pull of where do you want to be? Seek the spiritual. Always seek the spiritual. So eventually got myself in there, and really God spoke to me there and led me there. And people, that's what it's all about. It's that individual walk with the Lord. So it is. And the more I went forward, the more the Lord led me. The more I could see that this was a dying world. There is no hope for Jesus Christ, who is soon to return. And you know, there's very little preached on that nowadays. I don't really mind which one you actually take, one of the four versions here, but Christ in all of them is to return. That's the glorious hope that we have. So it is. Christ rose again from the dead for our sins. That's the amazing thing. So let God really get in tune with you and say, he's alive. Get that Holy Spirit into your life. It isn't a whoopy doopy thing. Here's one of the things. So when I was just praying and reading the word, and the Lord said, I want you to go down to me, down there. That's a good half an hour away. I want you to meet somebody. This is just in my mind. Anyway, what happened was there was a person actually standing there from here to that wall, and I happened to say, is this such and such? The Lord led me to that person who actually then, within 6 to 8 months, although she'd went to church, she was just well from far from the truth, because she didn't have that personal relationship. And throughout a mission that I was able to point her to, that lady got saved. And it's being in those kind of situations that God can actually lead you and direct you to a person, one person, and say, I want you to speak of me to that person and help that person along their spiritual road. Throughout it all, the Lord has led me, first of all, to the Jewish congregation, because it's the Jews first. It says it in the book. And went along there, was at their services. You know, they still read the Old Testament. It's just an Old Testament. Still, God is in the Old Testament. And they are so blinded to their Messiah, which is so saddening. You know, they are under the law of 613 laws. I mean, my goodness, we can't even keep 10 commandments. Never mind 613. I just don't know how to do it. But God has preserved them, because he must come back to Jerusalem. So the next stage of my life is basically God has called me, moved me on from the Jewish congregation in Belfast to the wider population of Ireland, the island of Ireland. Once you start to get that spirit inside you and proclaim that word, it becomes easier. There's a first of all, I can't do this. But when you let the Lord lead you, it becomes easier because you're being led of the Spirit. So the outreach is that evangelism is being where I'm being called at the present moment. I had a great opportunity, and it just shows you where our churches are. There's a big thing happening in Dublin last year, and some of you know that I have the Ten Commandment coins. Is that on? Yeah, it's okay. Right. And I was able to go down and give a lot of thousands of those out at a big festival in Dublin. So there was. People need the Lord. People are blinded to the Word, to the great prospect of Jesus can forgive our sins. Without the commandments, we do not know what is right and wrong. And for those who are actually thinking about evangelism, about proclaiming God's word, there's many helps out there. I can't be in your position, and you can't be in my position. So we've all got to take the word and bring it where the Lord leads us and actually says, this is where I want each individual to proclaim that to an individual or to a group, with love and in truth. One of the greatest things that I was actually on that journey back in evangelism, knocked on the door, and basically the guy found out that he was homosexual, and basically that's really very difficult to deal with. But the greatest thing is, you know, this here, he actually accepted the word of God into his house. He brought me into his house where I could proclaim the gospel message that Jesus actually loves him. And we just never know where the openings are going to be. But God will lead you there, and God will have that. If you're open enough to go for God, then he will give you the opportunity to speak for him. There was... if I can find it. Sorry, I've lost it. In that Shema Israel, Shema, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That Shema is all about the calling. I get called for John down at the back there, and I could have the greatest gift for him of, say, £1 million. But until John actually comes and receives it, that £1 million is no good. And it's all about hearing that voice of God in your life and accepting that call in your life. When God calls you, accept that call and graciously come under his love and his grace that he died for your sins. Thank you, man.
Okay, thanks very much, Ivor. He's underselling himself, by the way, because what God has done in Ivor's life is incredible. And everywhere there's great gatherings across this country, Ivor's there handing out tracts and sharing the gospel with people. And it's interesting because I said to a couple of people during the week, I haven't got a baldy what Ivor's going to say, because you see, when it comes to it, don't really know him. And I thought, I hope he doesn't get up and be a complete crackpot. You know, and then I have to get up and apologize to the church. But Ivor, actually, it's really interesting. First and foremost, thank you very much for sharing what you shared. But this is the message that I have, and I didn't tell Ivor what I was going to speak about. But this is the message that the Lord has given me. But before I start, let me just pray for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Ivor's testimony tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that here is a man who kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until he was told, listen, this is the last chance that you're going to get. And then you graciously, Lord God, moved in his life and you brought him to faith in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have continue this work in his life, Lord God, where you've given him a burden to reach others with the gospel. And Lord, Ivor would be the first to say, you don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to be someone who can communicate effectively. You just have to be open to be used by God. And Lord, and have that willingness to be used by you. And I thank you that Ivor has that willingness, Lord, and I pray your blessing upon him. But Lord, speak to us now through this living and active word. In Jesus' name. We're continuing in our series, Watch Out, There's a Thief About, Is Satan Robbing You? And I want to start with this. The world's broken and you can't fix it. Ivor just basically said the same thing. The world's broken and you can't fix it. Now, I heard these words just this week, and immediately when I heard them on the television, I got up and I got my notepad that sits beside me and I wrote them down straight away. The world's broken and you can't fix it, because I knew the minute I heard those words that these were going to be the subject for my message tonight. The world's broken and you can't fix it. Well, it was spoken on the BBC crime drama series Shetland. Does anybody watch it? Well, you aren't intelligent enough, but there's a couple of people who do. The intelligent people are sitting at the back. So, Mrs. Blair and Mrs. Galt, the intelligent people, well, you would have heard if you watched it on Tuesday night that these words were spoken on the BBC crime drama series Shetland by a lady friend to the detective inspector, Jimmy Perez. And he seemed overwhelmed by the terrible events that were taking place on the island, such as murder and people trafficking and threats against his own daughter because of his investigation. The world's broken, the woman said, and you can't fix it. Well, as I said, although the words were taken from the script of a crime drama, I wonder just how often you've looked at the goings-on in the world today and thought to yourself, what is going on in this world? Every day we hear of wars and threats of war. We've got Syria, we've got Yemen, we've got Pakistan and India. We perhaps even have America and North Korea. Every day we hear of stabbings and killing of young people in places like London and Birmingham. And just last night in Manchester, a 17-year-old boy stabbed to death. The night before, a 17-year-old girl. Two guys just randomly walk up to her in a park and stab her to death. Drugs are permeating our communities. They are wreaking havoc with people's lives and destroying families. Alcohol addiction seems to have a stranglehold on too many people that we know. Senior citizens can't go to bed at night without being afraid because they're being attacked in their homes. Children are being sexually abused or exploited. People are being trafficked around the world like they're nothing more than merchandise. And every week we hear of someone else who's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. We even have this week the Momo on social media manipulating children and vulnerable adults, telling them how to kill themselves or others, or even encouraging them to do so. It doesn't take a lot of looking to realize the world's broken and we can't fix it. And yet many of us have become desensitized to the terrible things going on in our broken world. We think if these things aren't happening to us, well then it doesn't really affect us. Even when it gets closer to home and it's happening in our communities, it doesn't affect us too much as long as it doesn't come near our door. Every day we can allow ourselves to become desensitized to the brokenness of our broken world and think there's nothing that I can do about it. And so we just ignore it. When Jesus said in John 10 verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, he was implying that this is what Satan does. Satan is a thief. He is a liar, and stealing, killing, and destroying is his forte. He ruins lives. Satan is behind every war and rumor of war in this world. Satan is behind all stabbings and killings. Satan is behind the drugs that are wrecking people's lives and destroying communities. Satan is behind the stranglehold of addiction in people's lives. Satan is behind every heinous attack on senior citizens. Satan is behind every sexual abuse or exploitation of children. It originates from Satan. He is behind people trafficking. He is ultimately behind every form of sickness and disease, because his lies led to sin. And Satan is behind the most recent social media Momo suicide game. Satan is a thief and a liar, and stealing, killing, and destroying lives is what he does, simply to rob God of glory. Even us, please listen to this, even us being desensitized to what's going on around us, Satan is behind that desensitizing. He works to harden hearts and minds so that the brokenness of the world, which we can't fix, doesn't really affect us. But what you need to realize is that becoming desensitized to the brokenness of our world is Satan simply blinding you to truth and reality. Listen to that again, please. If you are becoming desensitized to the brokenness of our world, Satan is blinding you to truth and reality. Yes, it's true that we live in a sin-cursed, broken world which we can't fix. Even God, and dare I say it, even God can't fix this broken world. It's like the days of Noah. God couldn't fix the broken world, and so he destroyed nearly the whole world in a flood. And he put a rainbow in the sky, not to say gay pride. He put a rainbow in the sky to say that there would never be a flood again that would destroy the whole world. That was the sign of the covenant, but they have ruined it. The world was broken and it couldn't be fixed. This world today is broken, and not even God can fix it, which is why he has appointed a day when he is going to destroy this world as we know it, and he's going to make it new. All sin will be dealt with on that day, including your sin. For the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All wickedness and evil will be removed. All of Satan's lies, stealing, killing, and destroying will be brought to an end. Satan and all who belong to him will be cast into hell. This is what God's word says. Those who belong to Satan are all who have rejected Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Although this broken world can't be fixed, your brokenness can. That's why Ivor goes out to tell people about the hope that is found in Jesus. Because although this world's brokenness cannot be fixed, your brokenness can. Because even the psalmist says that God is a God who restores souls. God's word teaches us that because the world is broken by Satan and sin, he sent his son Jesus into the world to die, to pay the price for sin. Jesus came and died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. And now God says, whoever confesses their sin, whoever repents from their sin and trusts in Jesus and in Jesus alone, can receive forgiveness of sins and have everlasting life in the new world to come. This broken world in which we live is earmarked for destruction. Don't fool yourself into being environmentally friendly and save the planet nonsense. You're not going to be able to do it. God has reserved this planet for judgment by fire. That doesn't mean that we should kill the animals. It doesn't mean we should light forest fires. We should do our bit in that sense for future generations. But the reality is that this world is earmarked for destruction. It cannot be fixed, but you can. If you will accept God's message of salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus. But perhaps tonight you're already desensitized to the message of God's love for you. And you could nearly understand that living in Northern Ireland, where you see written up everywhere, Jesus saves, you must be born again, people out in the streets preaching the gospel, people coming up to you offering you gospel tracts. You could be desensitized to it because you've become so complacent, you have no interest in it. Perhaps you're already blinded to the truth that God has provided salvation for you. Well, I would ask, if you listen to anything that I have said tonight, please listen to these next few lines. The Apostle Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. But even if our gospel, that's the good news about salvation through faith in Jesus, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that's Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Please listen to these words. Even if the gospel, our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe. In simple language, what the Apostle Paul is saying is this. Those who cannot see the truth of the gospel. And let me give it to you in a nutshell. For God so loved the world, that includes you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Those who cannot see this truth, the Apostle Paul says, those who cannot see the truth of the gospel, the good news about salvation through faith in Jesus, have been blinded. They are desensitized to it by Satan, and they are perishing right at this moment. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, right at this moment you are perishing. And if you die tonight, you are going to hell. That is what God's word says. It is Satan who blinds you to the truth that you need to be saved. And he does so simply to rob God of glory and rob you of everlasting life. The world's broken and you can't fix it. But you can be saved from its corruption and its eventual destruction if you do what God's word says. Confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. Repent of your sin. Turn around from your sin. Leave your wickedness behind and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. The world is broken and you can't fix it, but God can fix you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for your word. We know that we live in a sin-cursed world, in sin-cursed bodies, Lord God. We just switch on our TV or our radio, Lord, and listen to the news, and we can hear of the brokenness of this world. Lord, you've told us this world cannot be fixed. You have preserved it for a day of judgment. And all, Lord God, who reject Jesus, all who reject your offer of salvation through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone will be destroyed with this world and will be cast into hell. But Lord, we thank you tonight that there is hope in Jesus, that there is salvation, that there is forgiveness of sins, Lord God, for those who will trust in him. Thank you for the greatest demonstration of your love toward us in giving your Son Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that those of us who know him love to go and tell others about him so that they too might be saved. Lord, the world is broken. We can't fix it. But we can help, Lord God, others to get fixed by pointing them to Jesus. And we thank you for men like Ivor, that you've given that heart to go out with the gospel, to share it with others. But Lord, tonight we pray that your word would triumph and speak into people's lives, that souls might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.